Elder Sim, and a very good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank God for the privilege yesterday evening to attend the Boys Brigade Founders Day Award. And we praise God that two of our boys, the BB 58th company that we sponsor as a church, receive their Founders Day Award. Make the school proud. And also our church was mentioned, so it made our church proud, but more importantly, may the Lord be pleased to use us to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to continue with our study and meditation on the Gospel of Matthew, and I thank you for bringing your friends, some of you, and for those who attempted to, but they were not responsive. That is okay. We'll keep trying and pray for them. But for those who came, our visitors, do remember them in our prayers, that the Lord will convict their hearts of their need for the Savior, and in His time, the gospel seed sown will bear fruit in their lives. So let us not be discouraged, but rather be encouraged, all right, that the Lord is working and He works at His own timing. Now, next Sunday, Elder Prasad will be preaching on my behalf because I've been invited to Maranatha BP Church by Reverend Jack Sin. I think he's away, and so I'll be covering him as well as conducting the Holy Communion for Maranatha. So do remember both of us in your prayers as we prepare to minister God's Word. Let's turn our Bibles now to Matthew chapter 1. And we'll continue with verse 18. The birth of newborn babies is a joyous occasion for the parents and also for the families that are involved. But it is also one filled with anxiety, excitement, and even wonder. And this is also true of the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the scripture begins with these words. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of God. When we read the name Jesus Christ, we should have in our mind what the Jews have in their mind. All right? Jesus Christ, to the mind of the Jews, is Jesus the Messiah. The word Christ means the Messiah, whom God promised to send to save them and deliver them. The story of the birth of Jesus in Matthew 1 is filled with wonder and excitement that one might expect when God begins to act in fulfillment of His promise to His people. In particular, it portrays the wonderful mixing of the miraculous and the ordinary, the divine as well as the human elements. As we have been prepared to understand from the genealogy, the history of God's people has now reached its long-awaited goal. The person of whom Isaiah the prophet, among others, wrote several hundred years ago, is now entering history, and the era of fulfillment has now begun. And that's how Matthew links the Old Testament to the New, the fulfillment of God's awaited promise. Matthew begins his gospel, as we have seen in the last message, with the genealogy or the origin of Christ the King. And there are many, many begets as you read the first 16 verses. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat, and down the line goes on and on. But did you notice that when we come to verse 16, in the genealogy, we observe a sudden twist. A sudden twist. Instead of saying, and Jacob begat Joseph, and Joseph begat Jesus, Matthew wrote, and Jacob begat who? Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The surprising turn in verse 16 finds its explanation in the remarkable birth of a son to a virgin girl, this by the agency of the Holy Spirit, in the accomplishment of God's saving purpose for his people. This morning we want to focus our attention on the doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ. And you will observe that here in this passage, the virgin birth of Christ stands with transparent clarity. And those who would deny it must contradict the biblical account. So this morning, let us consider six indications of the virgin birth found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And I want to encourage you at this point to bring your Bibles with you, because as we study together, there are some things that I may ask you to circle or underline. And today there are quite a number of phrases, sentences to underline as we look at this passage. So please follow me as we move along the six indications of the virgin birth. Verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Mary was espoused to Joseph. During the espousal period, called the Kiddushin in Hebrew, Mary was found with child. Now the Jewish betrothal, according to Torah law, marriage is a two-step process for the Jews. The first stage is the espousal period called the Kiddushin. And the second step is known as a Nishuin, which is the marriage proper. All right? And during the espousal period, the betrothed couple are already viewed as man and wife, because the Jewish betrothal was a solemn contract between a man and a woman which could be broken only by death or divorce. And that will help us understand why Joseph reacted later to put Mary away privately. However, during this espousal period, there was to be no sexual relations until the marriage, which can take place anytime from 1 month to a year, and is usually conducted within a year. It is like our engagement, but with much stricter requirements. And let us note Matthew's language here makes very clear that the pregnancy of Mary was a supernatural act of God. I say that again. Matthew's language makes very clear that the pregnancy was a supernatural act of God, not indiscretion on the part of Mary. You remember not too long ago, there was an MP of Bukit Batok. And he resigned due to, the Straits Times say, indiscretion, but we know what the indiscretion was, don't we? But this is not true of Mary. All right, her pregnancy was a supernatural act of God, not her unfaithfulness during this period to Joseph. Let us note here the first indication of the virgin birth. Before they came together. Now this communicates that there was no sexual relation between Mary and Joseph before they came together. We see this in Mary's reaction to the angel's announcement that she has been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. Then said Mary unto the angel, and that is found in Luke 1:34, by the way. You put your finger in Matthew and flip over to Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She had no sexual relation with Joseph. How can she be pregnant? This is a biological impossibility. And do you realize that the argument of biological impossibility was raised by the person whom God sent an angel to make this announcement that she will be with child or she will give birth to the Messiah? And God's answer to this impossibility is that it will be a miracle from heaven. The power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, God says. Yes, Mary, God says, I know this is a biological impossibility. You have not known a man. But it is going to be a miracle. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And that gives us our first indication of the virgin birth. The second indication is in the same verse that we have read earlier. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And this communicates the timing of the conception, which is during the betrothal period. And this is a flat statement without explanation that Mary's pregnancy is the work of the Holy Spirit. Question: how did Joseph feel when he found out that his fiancée was pregnant? Well, go to verse 19, and we see his reaction. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her, meaning Mary, a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. And this leads us to the third indication of the virgin birth. Joseph's reaction communicates that he knows that's not his child. The child that Mary is carrying, he knows it's not his child. And that explains his reaction. Joseph, already being regarded as a husband at this betrothal period, jumps to a very natural conclusion on hearing of Mary's pregnancy. So his response clearly shows that the child was not his, but must be someone else's. However, he plainly loved Mary dearly and could not stand the thought of a public trial to shame Mary. Therefore, he decided to dissolve the union quietly, privately. And Joseph's kindness is something all of us here need to emulate. Note also that immediately when Mary heard from the angel Gabriel, and the birth of Christ is recorded in Luke chapter 1 as well, by the way, right? And when Mary heard from the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 about God's choice of her to be the mother of the Messiah, in Luke 1 verses 39 to 43, You don't have to turn to that, but write the reference down if you want to. She fled into the hill country and took up residence with her kinsman, Elizabeth. You know Elizabeth was the mother of who?